Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York.
And we want to welcome you to this week's episode of Shooting Spaces. What's up, Brian?
Not much. The weather is changing here in New York, and it's getting cold. It is getting nippy.
I wish. It's still up in the mid to upper 80s here in Sacramento, and kind of getting tired of it, but I won't complain. It's just gorgeous out here.
Sure. And I also want to take a quick moment, because anybody that's listened to our last 2 week podcast, it sounded like I was underwater, but I had an issue with my microphone, and I think I have it all fixed and settled now, and we should be all set, and I should sound much better.
Okay. Well,
I know you finished up your workshop last week.
Yeah. We had a, 2 day workshop in beautiful Auburn. We had 8 participants, and everybody had a great time, learned a lot, got along really well. We had some really good times. So we did some twilight photography. We did about 8 to 10 hour days, and it was really great. So I'm super pleased with that, the last workshop of the year. So there we go.
Sounds awesome. Now, I know we're very pressed for time with our guest today, because he's actually heading out to my neck of the woods this week. But Rich, do you want to introduce our guest interview today?
I would love to. I'd be honored to, because I have been this company's biggest proponent, and I really, it changed the way I shot, I photographed. It literally changed everything I did, and this company was definitely part of my progression. And I want to say that about the company Camranger, who makes tethering tools to attach to Canon and Nikon cameras, and some really cool things coming up. So without any further ado, I want to introduce Dave, the owner, I assume the owner of Camranger. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. What is your title? And I apologize, what's your last name, David?
Dave Pawlowski is my full name. We are a smaller company, so my title sort of varies depending on what needs to be done that day. But I guess you could say, you know, lead developer might be a good summary.
Perfect. Well,
I want to say, Dave, I first found out about what you do and Camranger, it must have been maybe 2011 or 12, back at Photo Plus, which I know is happening this week. And I know you're heading out here for Photo Plus this week. I think you mentioned when I first met you that day that it might have been your first year there. I don't even remember. But you had this small little table in the back corner right when you walked in on the right, and you were kind of just starting out. And I saw what you were offering, and I bought one right then and there from you.
Yeah, that would have been, I think it was 2012. That was our first year. We had just launched the product probably a couple months before. Didn't know much about, you know, what we were getting into, marketing, that sort of stuff. And my wife, Melissa, who's sort of more the brains of the operation, said, "Hey, biggest trade show in the country is coming up in a few months. I think we should go. I think it'd be a good opportunity." And like, she often is, she was absolutely right. And it was a great opportunity for us, and really sort of, you know, got us out there with individual shooters like yourself, companies, retailers, distributors, all sorts of stuff, and really, took off from there, I guess.
Sure. I remember at the time I was walking around, and there was really no one out there that was kind of offering what you were doing. And I turned to my business partner and I said, you know, everyone's going to own one of these things in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it really has opened up what photographers can do. We were just, my wife and I were just very amateur photographers when we started, and we sort of had an inkling of, you know, what photographers wanted and what pro workflows were like and things like that. But I think it was actually to our benefit that we were a little bit naive about it. Because rather than us saying, okay, this is how we think the various workflows should work or what features should be offered, we very much listened to what our customers were telling us. Okay, we get a lot of people saying we want to do X, Y, and Z. okay, that seems like it's an important thing that we need to offer. So we really were able to tailor, you know, the feature set and what we were doing based on what photographers using it out in the field were coming back and reporting as far as what they want to see or what they want to be able to do.
Well, I'll tell you, I've always felt that way about your company. It's almost like, I will say one thing about Fuji. They seem to listen to their photographers and would come out with a lot of updates and things. But CamRanger's really, and just the fact that you have always returned emails promptly, quickly. You've always, you know, been straightforward going. You know, I've learned that there's a lot of challenges technically dealing with companies like Nikon and their new cameras, their new models. So you've really had your hands full. And I know this is going to be a short podcast, so I'd like to just cut right to the chase, where I'm extremely excited, as is the buzz in the groups, regarding a big announcement you've got. So would you be so kind as to be the first one to tell it on our podcast?
Sure. So we just recently released the CamRanger Mini, which is a sort of smaller, feature-wise lighter version of the CamRanger. That's not really as exciting to you guys as the upcoming CamRanger 2, which we are releasing next year. Some of the major changes, first off, you mentioned Fuji. It will have both Sony and Fuji support. We don't have a finalized list of exact camera models. You know, we're still working through that. And it does, exact features can vary based on the models, but think kind of like on the Sony end, you know, like Sony, like 7R3, 7R2, you know, those sort of cameras. And similarly with Fuji, like the X-T2, X-T3, those sorts of cameras are really the ones we're targeting and focusing most. And of course, it will still have Nikon and Canon support.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I've switched to Sony, and I've been using the Sony Play Memories app, and I've been fairly happy with it. But during the workshop, because now I was still using some Nikon, so I'd use CamRanger with Nikon and Sony app with Sony. That kind of went back and forth. And at the workshop, after I have not used the CamRanger in probably 4 months, one of my attendees had it. You had a couple of features on the CamRanger that just, I forgot how much I totally rely and enjoy on your application. And I've always said, when people said, you know, oh, it's too expensive, you can get the same thing, you buy the router and use this free software. Well, I've told people that the hardware should be free. It's your application that is where the money is. It is just so much better than everything else out there. And it is so intuitive and so quick. And now that it seems like you're addressing a lot of the issues that there have been, not that they've been consistent issues, but just, distance, the speed of transfer and things, sounds like I can't wait to try it, because it sounds like it's just going to make my life, my day so much better, my workflow so much faster. And I can only cross my fingers and just hope it's going to be coming true. But I'm really excited about it. I sound kind of like a goofy kid, but it's such a big deal to me. It's tethering. I can't shoot without tethering nowadays. And I just think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and I think so as well. I think people are going to be pretty pleased with it. Just, you know, based on what, you know, we're working with our prototypes and stuff now. You know, we're both engineers, and at least speaking for myself, tend to be pretty pessimistic, I feel, about things. So I'll get hung up on some minor, you know, problem or detail we're working through, and sometimes just need to step back and be like, oh, so this is going, you know, three times as fast as the original CamRanger. You know, the software has all these new features. Like, this is going to be a lot better. You know, tend to be pessimistic and focus on, oh, this tiny little thing might not work exactly how I want it. But in general, I think people are going to be really pleased, and it's going to really sort of take the current Cam Ranger to the next level.
Well, let me ask you, Dave, I know you just mentioned, you know, we spoke about faster and, you know, compatibilities with Sony and Fuji and the different cameras. Can you talk about any of these new features, or they're kind of under wraps yet and you can't really dive into what new features we can expect? I know you said the new, or your website says a new app design, which I guess you're going to redo the design and aspect.
But... Yes, I can speak to some in varying levels of detail, I guess. We do have a new app design. It was essentially the same sort of look and feel as in the newly released Mini. Basically, the old one, while still very functional, was developed a number of years ago, and design aesthetics change and such. So that is certainly important to some people. Others, not as much, but that's going to be new. I'm trying to think of some other sort of highlight features. Focus stacking has been changed to be a little more intuitive or a little more automatic. Being able to select near and far focus points, and with a couple caveats, the camera will automatically figure out the step sizes and take the pictures for you. HDR has been sped up a little bit when possible. I know that's a big thing. Photographers, for a number of reasons, want to really limit the amount of time in between exposures when they're doing some kind of exposure bracketing. So some of the things were kind of down in the weeds like that, but I think the end result is, you know, if the photographer can get, hey, instead of a second between each exposure, I'm getting a half a second. It may not sound like much, but based on the photographers we talk to, like, that's really nice to have, and it prevents potentially ruined shots.
Sure. You know, it's funny. I just recently learned about the HDR feature in the app. I've been using it for years without even going there. But I shoot mostly with flash, do occasionally shoot bracketed on some shoots. But even when I do shoot flash, I usually take a 3 or 5 shot bracket of my shots just in case as a backup. And I just recently discovered your HDR, I guess you can call it, tab or module on the app. Yep. Where I can kind of just dial everything in and just sit back and let it do its work for whatever it takes, 30 seconds, a minute. But like you said, yeah, having that sped up a little, because there is a little bit of lag time in between each shot. So, but if people are not using that HDR feature, if you are taking brackets, I think you can dial in how many shots you want, what your shutter speed to start at, how many stops between shots. So you literally dial in everything and just hit start and it goes for you.
And let me ask you, I don't know if you can say it, and I certainly understand that there are parameters regarding physical properties, but roughly, if we were to have the resolution set to, and the camera range is set to raw plus basic JPEG, what kind of speeds are we looking at? Is there any way you can give me, and I understand if you can't, but anyway, are we talking half a second, a second, 1-2 seconds, or what are we looking at?
Well, it still varies very much by camera.
Mm-hmm.
For example, right. T3i medium JPEG is going to be way smaller than a D850 medium JPEG. So for, let's say, your higher end camera that more pros are shooting, you know, 5D4, D850, that sort of camera, a medium JPEG in sort of an average scenario is, I'd say, between probably more than 1 less than 2 seconds.
Wow.
I'm guessing a little over a second to transfer.
That's great.
So yeah, and again, it's one of those things where it doesn't necessarily seem like a lot, like, oh, it, let's say, takes a second instead of 2 seconds.
That's a huge difference.
What's an extra second? But yeah, when you're on a shoot and you want those images to be
absolutely
coming across, it's definitely a marked improvement.
Well, I always teach all of my the people that follow me, saving time is literally seconds upon seconds, and that is going to be a game changer for me. I'm so excited about it because it's just going to change the way I work. Really looking forward to it.
Well, let me ask you, Dave, I want to take a step back for a second, because I was kind of reading the About Us page on your website earlier this morning, and I know you said you have an engineering background, but you were not at the time a professional photographer. Is that correct? When you decided to come up with this?
That's correct. My wife and I were very much amateur photographers. We like outdoors, hiking, backpacking, kayaking, that sort of thing. Also really like wildlife. So like a lot of amateur photographers, most of our pictures were wildlife, landscape, outdoors, that sort of stuff. And we first had the idea for the Cam Ranger. We were on a kayaking trip and we were trying to get pictures of us essentially in the boat. And really the only ones we could get were kind of the stick out the hand, get a selfie sort of shot. And we're like, oh, we really want to get a picture of us in the boat with the camera, like on the shore, properly exposed, properly framed. You know, it seems like there should be a way to do this. And we're like, okay, technology, it must be like some smartphone app or something we could use. So we looked it up and there really wasn't anything available. So Melissa said, hey, we should do this. And I was very hesitant. I said, no, this is a lot of work. I don't want to do this much work. But she was persistent. Hey, we should do this. We should do this. So finally relented, said, okay, we'll do this. She was right. It was a lot of work, but, you know, ultimately worthwhile. So that's sort of how we got started.
Did you intend to try to take it to the photography masses at the time? Or was it like, let me build something so we can take better kayaking pictures?
We did intend to sell it all along. We had no idea what to expect as far as what would be our audience. We viewed it originally more as, hey, you know, what we could use it for. Like, hey, this would be great for, we'll set it up in front of a bird feeder. We'll do, you know, be able to do more with landscape HDRs. We'll be able to do remote capture of us. Like maybe we can do a cool picture of like both of us hiking by and the tree, you know, the camera's up in a tree or something like that. We were more thinking that sort of market when we first launched, and then very quickly saw, you know, the professionals saying, hey, this is great. This is, we want to use this. Can you do, make it do X, Y, and Z? And that's, you know, like I was referring to, said, sure, yeah, we can do X, Y, and partially Z. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's, I've learned so much about when companies have to deal with, it could be software or hardware, have to deal with different hardware and different companies. It's very, very challenging, I'm sure.
It can be. It's not, the companies help a little bit, I would say. It is a little different with them being headquartered in Japan, you know, at least for both Canon and Nikon, headquartered in Japan, and they basically just have a sales company for here in the US. For the most part, the folks here in the US are great. They're very helpful. They realize that a lot of photographers are using the Cam Ranger, so they want the photographers to be able to use the Cam Ranger with their camera. So they're pretty good about, hey, can we, you know, borrow a camera or, you know, those sorts of things. Getting technical information is quite a bit harder. Mm-hmm. For the most part, that's the people in Japan that do that. So getting actual technical, you know, questions or troubleshooting or whatever, that sort of thing, is typically not really possible.
Yeah. Well, I know that there are plenty of photographers that would not go to Fuji or go to Sony because there is no Cam Ranger support. So I think this is really going to be great for everyone involved, the your end and also our end.
Yeah, I think so. We over the years have been getting more and more requests for, hey, I want to do this on Sony, or I want to do this on Fuji. And those really are the two biggest other ones we've seen. So we are pretty excited to be able to offer it. And I do feel both Sony and Fuji, the companies, they've been pretty helpful. Mm-hmm. They know they want to be able to increase their market share, you know, take on some of the bigger boys in the industry. and they don't necessarily have all of the accessories, software, third-party tools, etc., that Canon and Nikon have developed and sort of been entrenched for so long. So I do feel Sony and Fuji are more interested in trying to, you know, help get products like CamRanger supported for their platform.
Fantastic. Well, I again can't wait. So what's if you can tell us what are we looking at sometime in 2019? Are you able to narrow it down or not?
We avoid trying to
okay, I won't put you on
pin ourselves in a box too yeah. much. You know, development's a sort of two steps forward, one step back sort of process. And certainly, at least on my wife's side, as a customer, it's sort of a pet peeve of hers when companies overpromise and underdeliver. So, you know, we don't want to say, hey, it's coming, you know, January 1st for sure. And then it's, you know, 4 months later and hey, where is it?
Great.
So we're sort of intentionally vague, but we do want to let people know it's coming and it should be pretty good.
Cool. Let me ask you, Dave, about the CamRanger Mini. For what we do, we're mostly real estate photographers and some architectural photographers. What is the difference between the Mini and the regular one? And is that something that people should consider as a lower cost option if they want to get in at a lower price to you?
Yeah, it really depends on your workflow and your needs. And that really was the intent of the Mini. If you are a little less, if your needs are a little bit less, or maybe your budget's a little more constrained, it could be a good option. Some of the major differences, obviously, are the speed. It's overall slightly faster than the original CamRanger, as opposed to the CamRanger 2, which would be a lot faster. There's no support for Mac or Windows, so it's no computers. It's only mobile devices, iOS and Android. A lot of the sort of more advanced features, overlays, image rating systems, things like that, you can't do on the Mini. Let's see what else. From a hardware perspective, there's no replaceable battery, which I know for a lot of pros shooting, you know, all day, that's sort of a non-starter.
Can you plug in an external battery?
You can. You can use a battery brick and just run it like that. Great. So that is certainly an option.
Well, I know for me, the batteries are huge. I don't know. I don't even know if you do this anymore. Or maybe it was a show special back in 2012 when I bought this from you. But you, when I actually purchased it, it came with two batteries.
I believe we've done various show specials. We have had ones where you get a free battery. We certainly, I'm assuming that's what we did there at that show.
Yeah, because you don't sell it generally with a second battery, correct?
Not by default, though you can, of course, purchase a spare at the time.
Can we expect a similar battery life from the CamRanger 2 as the CamRanger 1?
In our testing, I would expect the same or better.
Because I will say that I've always had a second battery, but 99% of the time, the only reason I needed it was because I forgot to turn the CamRanger off. So the battery life has always been great with it, with the product.
I've definitely been guilty of the forgetting to turn it off as well. But yeah, in general, it's pretty good. We say for the original, about 4+ hours for like an average use case. Mm-hmm. And for a shoot, you know, maybe you shoot for a few hours in the morning, break for lunch where you can charge it for an hour or so. Yeah. And then you shoot again for a few hours in the afternoon and you're okay. But there are certainly times when people are shooting all day long, no breaks, or maybe they're traveling, don't have power or whatever. Mm-hmm. One other difference. Oh, sorry. I wanted to point out one other difference between the Mini and the CamRanger and CamRanger 2 is the networking options. The CamRanger Mini is only the normal, you join the CamRanger Wi-Fi network and you're only communicating with the CamRanger Mini device. Both the CamRanger and CamRanger 2 allow you to bridge into an existing Wi-Fi network. So if you're at a, you know, in your office and have a whole Wi-Fi network there, you can bridge CamRanger into that Wi-Fi network and be able to, say, access the internet or other files that you have on your network or whatever. So that is another difference.
Cool. I didn't even know that was an option on the original CamRanger. Although most of the time, even if I'm on location, you know, it's complicated to do that because even if there's a Wi-Fi, by the time you get their password and all that stuff, it's easier just to go direct and do it that way.
Yeah, for photographers who are shooting on location each time, like you said, it's usually more hassle than it's worth to be able to try to deal with some foreign Wi-Fi network. But for those shooting in the studio and they want to be able to, you know, transfer to Dropbox quickly or something like that, usually that's the sort of scenario people are using it in.
Cool. Now, and I know one of the features that is often overlooked with the CamRanger, potentially because maybe not overlooked, but I know overlooked in our side of the industry, is the video features. And that's why actually I originally bought the CamRanger. At the time I was doing a lot of video production. But I know the video capabilities are also incredible if someone does do video.
Yeah. Video is sort of a different world at times. So at least that's been our impression. It seems to us that the sort of a great audience is the photographer who does mostly stills, but they do a little bit of video on the side. Maybe there's a wedding that the bride wants to get some video, or they got hired, they got to put together a quick, you know, 30-second short of something or whatever. Because a lot of the video specific equipment, software, tools, etc., can be very pricey. Mm-hmm. It's very like high-end stuff, but it's often, you know, at least a few grand just to get in the door on some of the video equipment. And that can be a big hurdle if you're a photographer who, well, I'm doing video maybe once a month, every other month, something like that. It's tough to justify the investment. And that's where I think the CamRanger really can help them out, where they can be doing their normal stills and then they have their video camera especially set up, say, you know, in the balcony on, you know, over on the side on a tripod, whatever. And they're able to, okay, let me check my focus. Let me start recording. Okay, I need to spend 5 minutes. Let me make sure no one's bumped the camera, you know, that sort of thing. We see that as a very common use case for the still photographer who wants to do some video without breaking the bank.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Sounds great. So many features.
Cool. Well, I know, Dave, you're pressed for time. I think you said you're heading out to New York for Photo Plus in a couple hours. So I definitely want to thank you for coming on and giving us even a half hour, a couple hours before you're hitting the road to come out to New York.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me. It was nice to chat with you guys. Anything else I can answer for you?
Yeah, let me ask you this. Is the CamRanger only available on your website, or are you in retailers also?
You're saying the CamRanger Mini or the original CamRanger?
Yeah, well, is it true that you cannot buy the original now? Is that correct?
So the original is considered discontinued. We do still have some that we sell directly on our website. So for those like who really need one particular feature or not that the original CamRanger has, we do have a few, or if someone needs to get a second or, you know, whatever, we do still have a few left. I should also point out for those shooting with the original CamRanger, we are going to continue supporting it, you know, software updates, make sure it continues to work with the new mobile operating systems, that sort of thing. So don't worry about it suddenly turning into a brick in 3 months or something.
Sure. Will the new app also work with the original CamRanger?
It will not. Distinct apps that only work with the particular hardware device.
But it will be an easy transition, probably, if you're familiar with CamRanger 1.
It is. Yeah. There's definitely some tweaks to the look and feel and some minor, you know, layout and usage sort of stuff. But if you're familiar with the original CamRanger, it's going to be very obvious.
Right. And one last question for me is, if people are at, what's the photo show? It's
Photo
at
Plus.
Photo Plus.
Yes.
If they're at Photo Plus, can they come and say hi to you and check it out? The new one?
We will not be actually showing anything with the Camera Ranger 2 at Photo Plus.
That's it. I'm not stopping by to say hi, Dave. All right. Well, definitely want to thank you for giving us a couple of minutes before you pack your bags and your truck and head out east to the cold New York. But you're out in Wyoming, so I shouldn't say cold New York. I should say hot New York.
Yeah, we've had a number of snowfalls already this year. So
pack your swim trunks.
Not quite, but close.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Dave. It's been informative. And again, I hope we'll be able to have you on again in the future after Brian and I have both tried the new Cam Ranger and something to report back to you.
Sure. Thanks again, guys.
All right, Rich, you want to take us out?
Yeah, well, I just want to say to everybody, please be sure to subscribe, as you probably have. But if you haven't, please do so. And be sure to use the Ask the Guys feature where you can go on the website, shootingspacespodcast.com, and just click on Ask the Guys and you can record a 90-second question. And either Brian or I will answer it, or we'll try and have a big-time professional be able to answer your question just for you. So, Brian, why don't you finish it?
Yes, thank you. You said it all. And with that, we will speak to everybody next week.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to this show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.